Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
God is manifesting His kingdom all over the earth. And I believe that that is very much part of what I would like to speak to you about tonight, just for a few minutes. And I would like to just release this into the atmosphere. I'm not really preaching or teaching as much as I would bring some of that through, but really want to impart something and deposit something, release something into the atmosphere, something that will remain here, linger here, and be a part of you. That's what I would like to do. And so God confirms His word, He confirms His truth, and I would like to speak into this area of the kingdom of God that's being manifested in and through us as God's people. Each and every one of us are called to expand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within us, within you, and we are to take that kingdom and take it into our world, our territory. And through us, that kingdom expands in the earth. The original intention of God is found in Eden, where God created a garden and He created a man, a son in His own image. And He placed him there, and His intention was, Adam, fill the earth, multiply, subdue, take what's here, fill the whole earth with it. And I want you to know it's still God's plan. God's plan is still the same. He wants the whole earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Just as the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. The Bible says the earth is filled with the glory of God. There is no place where you can go where the glory of God cannot be made manifest. The glory of God can be made manifest anywhere because the whole earth is filled with it. But He said knowledge. The knowledge shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we know the sea here at Vera Beach. You know the beach. You know the sea. It comes in waves. There's waves. There's tides. There's waves. And so God is releasing a new wave right now. All across the earth, a mighty, powerful wave of the Spirit and of the move of God. The Spirit is a moving spirit. His nature is one of movement. The Holy Spirit is not stagnant. He's always moving. Even in the dark ages, even in the times where it seemed like there was nothing happening, and it was just dark, and it was just cold, even then the Spirit of God was still moving all the time. He never stops moving. And there's movement in the kingdom of God. There's movement here tonight. There's movement in your life tonight. And there's going to be a movement through your life because the Holy Spirit is a moving spirit. We find Him in the beginning moving upon the face of the deep. And so He's moving still through our lives. And we can flow with the move of God. We can flow with the river of God. But in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And then verse 14 says, the Lord Jesus, 'This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.'" The gospel must be preached. It must be proclaimed publicly and actively. And that proclamation of the gospel is the witness, the sign of the coming of the Lord. It's actually the sign of the age. How many of you know the church was never called to inhabit the world? We were not called to just occupy space, but we were called to win the world. Go into the world, go into that territory and proclaim it. I believe the harvest is ready right now. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is ready. It's white. It's ready. I want to say tonight, your friends, your co-workers, family members that you may think are not ready, they are ready. They are ready. They must just be reaped by the power of God. The harvest is ready. So I declare that to you prophetically now, that before the end of this year, we are believing God for the salvation of your household, your friends, your family, people you've been praying for. They're coming into the kingdom. The harvest is ready. Now, we may in our minds think it's not, and we may look at them and say they're not ready. How many of you know Saul of Tarsus didn't look ready? He hated the church. He was persecuting the church, but Jesus showed up and saved him, changed him. He encountered God. So this evening, I want to say it doesn't matter how bad they are or look right now, your prayers have been heard. And God is saying they're ready to be reaped. So we declare before the end of this year, there will be a harvest in this church. There is a reaping of the harvest through this church, in this territory, in this region. This is not only a house of prayer, this is a house of evangelism. This is a house of evangelism. And the spirit and the anointing and the mantle of the evangelist will manifest upon this house. Hallelujah. In a powerful way. There are some of you that God is stirring up. He's igniting you. He's activating you to step into a stronger anointing and gifting and passion for evangelism and for reaching out and for going into unknown territories with boldness and authority. Can you say amen? We must go into our world. Jesus said so. It's not the great, you know, option. It's the great command. It's the great commission. Go into all the world, and each and every one of us has a different world. Your world is not my world. I can never enter into your world. Your world is unique to you. There are people that you know and that you can reach that I can never get to know or reach. You have the mandate, the commission, the assignment to go into that world with the power of God and reach them for Christ. Reach them for Christ. And God will back you up with His Word. He'll back you up with His Spirit. He'll back you up with the anointing. He'll back you up with the gifts of the Spirit. No Christian should ever be bored. No believer should ever be bored. Backsliders are sometimes people that were bored, that weren't doing much. You see, with spiritual boredom, we eventually fall into things we shouldn't be falling into. David, the king, was supposed to be out doing battle. The Bible says in the days where kings did battle, he was supposed to be on the battlefield, but he wasn't. He stayed at home. And how many of you know he fell into sin with Bathsheba because he was bored? And I'm here to tell you that spiritual boredom is a pathway that leads to lukewarmness. But through spiritual activity, we keep the fire of God burning. Through spiritual activity, we increase the anointing. So I want to encourage you to stay active. Stay active in the things of God. Stay active in the house of God. Keep busy with the things of God. And there's no reason for any one of us to live a boring Christian life, because we can experience the presence, the power, the supernatural every day of our lives by encountering people in our world. They need us. They need you. They need what you carry. They need what's in your mouth. They need what's in your hands. Won't you just lift those hands up high to God? I'm here to tell you, there are hundreds of miracles in your hands right now. There are hundreds of breakthroughs in your hands right now. There are hundreds of people that will be healed through your hands right now. If you believe that, give Him a praise offering. So in the last days, Jesus said, in the last days, there will be an acceleration. Oh, hallelujah. In the last days, there will be an acceleration of evangelism. There will be an acceleration of the gospel of the kingdom being preached in the earth. So yes, the signs of famines and earthquakes and worldwide wars, all these things are signs of the times. But the greatest sign is the sign of the acceleration of evangelism in the earth. Oh, come on, somebody. When the body of Christ rises up and preaches the gospel, then you better know that's the sign. Oh, hallelujah. That's the sign that the end is at hand, when people break out of just confinement. And I'm talking about worldwide, because I know that this church is a church of evangelism and outreach. But I'm here to tell you right now, get ready. Get ready, Oceans Unite, for an acceleration. There's an acceleration happening in the spirit over you now. I release that here tonight. I cast that mantle on you. And from this hour, there's going to be a greater thrust. You know, Jesus is our role model. Jesus is our role. Some people say, what is an evangelist? What is the anointing of an evangelist like? Just look at Jesus. Jesus is our role model for an evangelism thrust. Passion, anointing, mantle, gifting, call it whatever you want to. He touched all people. He touched all classes of people. He touched all races of people. He touched all genders of people. He touched all groups of people. He broke barriers. He broke through barriers. He broke through barriers. He spoke to a woman when nobody spoke to women in his day. He spoke to the Samaritans when everybody else avoided them. He broke through classes and genders. He broke through races. He spoke to people nobody else spoke to. That's the spirit of an evangelist. That's the gift and the anointing of an evangelist that breaks through the barriers, breaks through the limitations, and says, I will break through this barrier. I will break through this limitation. I will break through this restriction. I'll go beyond this. I activate you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to break through barriers, limitations. Even in our own hearts and minds, we need the anointing and the power of God, the boldness of God, to be able to break through. To break through every kind of restrictive wall that stands between us and reaching people for Christ. So I declare to you tonight, we are right now in the end of the age, because there is a great movement in the body of Christ. People are rising up. Ordinary people. People are rising up everywhere, and they are beginning to move in the power of God. It's no longer just a couple of men or women on the platform. It's the time for the saints of God. The move of God is in this. Come on. It's in the chair. It's in the pew. It's out the door. It's in the mall. It's in the hospital. It's in the courtroom. It's everywhere. It's unstoppable. This anointing is, it cannot be contained. The anointing upon you cannot be contained. This anointing, this end time anointing, is so powerful. It can climb over any wall, creep under any door, get through any place, anywhere, in any prison. Come on, give God a praise. Give God a shout. It's unstoppable what God's going to do through you. And dear friends, I want to say that we have to move from fear to boldness. If there's one thing that activates this anointing, it is boldness. Without boldness, we will always be limited in walking in that dimension of the anointing. And in the Bible, the Greek word for fear is phobos. And that word, we get the word phobia from it. There's many kind of phobias in the world. Some have a phobia or a fear for spiders. Others have for heights. I must be honest with you, that's something I'm still trying. I'm conquering that thing. I'm so glad I came to the service tonight. I wouldn't have wanted to miss the service for anything, because tonight is the night for a supernatural breakthrough. I prophesy to you now, many of us are going to leave this place tonight without any phobia, without any fear. We're going to leave with supernatural boldness. Oh, if you believe that, tell three people around you, boldness, boldness. You're a powerful church, Pastor Alex, this church. So any kind of phobia, any kind of fear must go, must be broken. We are moving from that fear. Maybe you've had a phobia or a fear for spiders or for the dark, or for maybe you've been, you know, claustrophobic, or maybe there's been some people struggle with flying. It's not just a normal thing. It is a phobia. It is a fear. They react physically to it. They get a panic attack. They can't breathe. They sweat. Something happens. It paralyzes them. Some of this fear that comes upon people will provoke them, will make them, will force them to escape, to run away from, to shy away from, to withdraw, to hide. Fear is an evil spirit. Fear is a tormenting spirit. And it causes horror, it causes torment, it causes fright. And it prevents many in the body of Christ from taking action. It prevents many people from giving to God, tithing. It prevents people from praying. It prevents people from becoming a part of the outreach ministry. It prevents people from stepping into their function in the church. They have a passion, they have a vision, they have a calling to be a cell leader, but there's something holding them back. Every time they feel they want to step into it, it's like that fear grips them and they withdraw. It's a reality for many people in the body of Christ. And it causes many people to withdraw from what they are supposed to do in the kingdom of God. And this spirit doesn't come alone, doesn't operate alone. It brings with it all kinds of intimidation. It causes one to feel intimidated. Its whole assignment is to stop you, is to hinder you, is to intimidate you. If I can use an Old Testament example of that spirit, it's Goliath. Goliath was intimidating and defying and threatening and putting fear in the hearts of God's people, until one man with the Spirit of God upon him, a young man, came and broke that spirit, broke down that stronghold, brought that fear down. And the moment David conquered that fear, that fear said, I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to eat you up. David said to him, phobia, fear, I'm going to eat you up today. Today I'm going to feed you. I am taking your head off your shoulders. The moment David did that, everybody else got courage. Because when you break the spirit of fear in your life, when you break the spirit of fear over your mind, over your marriage, over your business, over your relationships, I'm here to tell you, every other area of your life will be liberated. Your personality will be free. Your mind will be free. Your creativity will be free. Your business will be free. Your finances will be free. Physically, there'll be a freedom. Sickness will have to go. Come on. Oppression will have to go. There are gifts in you. There are assignments in you that must come forth, that are hidden, maybe dormant because of some sort of a fear. There are people in your life that you're supposed to meet. There are relationships that you're supposed to have. There are people that, or a person that you're supposed to marry one day. There's a business that you're supposed to run. There's a ministry you're supposed to fulfill that you will never be able to do unless fear is broken. You'll only be able to step into God's plan through boldness. So this is a very important thing for me tonight to tell you, that fear is something that we have to recognize as a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It is not natural for a human being to be afraid. Man was created in the presence of God and to live in a realm of faith and peace and tranquility. And outside of that, fear became a reality. So I want you to understand tonight that it's not God's plan for you to live in fear. It's not God's will for you to live in fear. God wants you to have a life of freedom and peace and liberty. So tonight we have to recognize that there is something behind this fear in my life that's stopping me. Why am I addressing this? Because if we don't move from fear to boldness, we'll never be able to step into the evangelism anointing. An evangelistic thrust or anointing or gifting or ministry demands boldness. It demanded of a Peter to stand up on Pentecost and say publicly, "This is not wine. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he preached the gospel fearlessly and boldly. He said, "You killed the Messiah, but God raised him up. If you repent, you'll be saved." And 3,000 got saved because he was bold. I said, the same man who was afraid, who denied Christ 3 times, who was bound by fear, was powerful and bold. We find the same man sleeping in prison the night before his execution. He's not afraid anymore. He's not afraid of death. He's not afraid of his reputation. He's not afraid of the opinions of people. He's not afraid of the threatenings and the intimidation. He stands up against the Sanhedrin and he says to them, "We will obey God rather than man." And they beat him up, but they kept on preaching Christ. I'm here to tell you, it's time for us to shake the dust off of our disappointments, our setbacks, our betrayals, our distractions, the persecution we've been through, and move into the next season, the next dimension. Can you say amen? So the fear within you will be uprooted. It will be uprooted now. We are not coming back tomorrow with it. This is the end. It's now. From this moment, you will not fear heights. You will not fear the dark. You will not have a phobia for spiders. Come on now, you will not have a claustrophobic phobia. I don't care what kind of phobia it is. Come on, somebody. God is right now healing your heart, your soul, your mind, your physical body by the power of His Word. The consequences of fear, when we entertain fear, when we allow it, we fear will take root in us. And number one, fear will stop us from flowing in the supernatural power of God. Fear, the same fear in that area that we are experiencing right now, will cause us to be hindered in flowing in the anointing, in flowing in the power of God. That's the first consequence of fear. The second consequence of fear is people who live in fear will punish themselves all the time. They are their worst critics. They are their own worst enemies. They punish themselves. Thirdly, the third consequence of allowing fear to become part of your life is it will contaminate the anointing in your life. This is the most deadly, the most heartbreaking thing of all, that the anointing will be contaminated. That fear that we entertain or allow in our hearts will minister it. Somehow it will come through us.
Whether we pray, whether we give, whether we worship, whatever. In that area, it will contaminate what we're doing for God. Number four, fear. Oh, come on, somebody say fear. Fear is an open door. It's an open heaven. It's a portal to everything that hell wants to do. As faith is an open door, a portal, an open heaven for whatever God wants to do. So the moment we have fear, we have an open heaven over us of every form of demonic oppression, influence. It can manifest in different ways. How many of you realize tonight fear has to go? Fear cannot be allowed, cannot be tolerated, must be seen as a deadly enemy, must be beheaded, must be uprooted, must be cast out, never to come back again. Come on, Oceans Unite. I want you to give God a praise like the spirit of fear is leaving you tonight. Jesus said, when a devil has been cast out, that demon, that spirit will wander and it will seek to come back to the house from which it was driven out. And when it sees the house put in order and swept clean, it gets seven spirits more wicked than itself to come back. And then Jesus said, the state of that person will be worse than before. So we have to understand that fear is a spirit that does not want to give up its territory. It wants to stay. And it will bring with it other spirits or results. Not always, but sometimes sicknesses, addictions, issues can be the result of fear. Fear brought it. And I want you to know that it's so important when fear has been dealt with and broken and driven out that we fill up ourselves with faith. I said with the spirit of faith. Because when faith is resident in your house, when that spirit of fear knocks on the door, faith will answer the door. And when fear sees faith, faith, come on now, will beat fear over the head every time. Fear will say, sorry, I'm at the wrong address. I cannot hang around you. You're too full of faith, too positive, too upbeat, too full of praise. Somebody shout and give God some. Amen. We must make it uncomfortable for fear to be around us. I want to encourage you to fill yourself with God's word as you do. The sound that you put in your ears around you, in your vehicle, in your house, wherever you, the sound that you put around you carries either the spirit of faith or the spirit of fear. Because the Bible says faith comes by not seeing, hearing. So faith comes upon the sound. There's a sound that brings faith. There's a sound that brings fear. And I'm here to say to you tonight, be very careful what sound is coming to you, what you're listening to, because there's a lot of fear when you switch on some programs. But how many of you know when you switch on a sound that brings faith to you, when you switch on a sound of worship, a sound of praise, or a sound of the word, as you are here, you can't help it, you're feeling better right now. As you're sitting here, you feel like, you know, I just feel like there's hope for me. There's faith for me. What is that? It's because there's faith in the sound that you hear. Faith comes to you. Faith is coming to you. Faith is coming to you. You don't have to beg for it. It's coming to you now. And so you're moving from fear to faith. And every one of us have a different measure. Everybody has faith. Every single believer here tonight has faith. God has given each one a measure of faith. So all of us have faith, but there's a measure to it. You got to increase that. Can you say amen? And I want to say this, we got to decrease the measure of fear that we've allowed, whatever it's been, but no more fear. No more fear. David was one that had no fear because he knew the power of his God. He had a relationship with his God. He said, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not touch me. He had a faith. He had a boldness. He said, with my God, I'll run through an army and I'll leap over a wall. Faith. So this evening, I want to say to you, every obstacle in your finances, in your house, your physical body, in your future, you will be able to leap over it. You'll run right through it. Run right through it. Don't even need to be delivered from it. You'll just run through it. Amen. Fear attracts to it whatever it fears. Faith attracts healings. Faith attracts miracles. Faith attracts provision. Faith attracts the presence of God. Fear attracts everything that we fear is attracted. It is like there's a smell. Even in the natural world, we see that animals, certain animals can smell fear. When they smell fear, that's when they attack. When you stand up and you make yourself look bigger than you really are, and you stand up and you show, I'm not moving, they'll watch, they'll look at you, they'll evaluate you. But if there's any fear, which they pick up on a smell, they'll prey on you. The same in the spiritual realm. I said depression will prey on you. Suicide will prey on you. Sickness will prey on you. Poverty will prey on you. Generational curses will prey on you. Addictions will prey on you. Spirits will prey on you. But if you walk by faith, if you walk in faith, if you walk in boldness, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Bigger. Bigger. You're bigger on the inside than what you are on the outside. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He was a short man. He wasn't that big, but he had faith. He had faith. Fear causes the gifts of God in you to turn off. Would you come and play a little bit there on the keyboard? Thank you so much. So fear can stifle, it can quench the gift of God in our lives. As somebody that did maybe not respond to you when you shared Jesus with him, if you allow that to bring a fear in you, it will stop you. It will quench that fire, that passion. Maybe you were worshiping in the worship team, singing, playing, and you saw somebody in the crowd and they looked at you and you thought that they were laughing at you. And it can make you withdraw and never sing again. Same with preaching. I know as a preacher, I remember my first message was on a youth camp. I told my friend, I don't want to preach. I was so scared. It was my first time I ever preached. I was 17. And I was supposed to preach that Saturday morning. And I said to him in the room, I said, I can't do this. I'm scared. And he said something powerful to me. He said to me, if you don't do it now, you'll never do it. And he pushed me. I went up dry mouth on the platform, totally not knowing what I was going to say or do. afraid. But when I opened my mouth, the power of God came. And when the power of God came, it was unstoppable. The timid guy changed and became bold. And I've never stopped. I'm here to tell you, once you break that fear, once you break through that barrier, it's just like that sound barrier. When you break through that barrier, you find a weightlessness, a release. The pull that held you back is lost. And you can soar in the presence of God. You can soar in the gift of God for your life. Fear prevents us, number 7, of taking action and making decisions. It's so hard sometimes to make decisions. It's so hard to make decisions. But a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. Being indecisive is something that we must break. Faith is never indecisive. Faith is not indecisive or double-minded. Faith is assured. Faith is assured. Dear friends, I want to say tonight that when fear is allowed or tolerated in our lives, it will make us indecisive. We will wonder about going out with the outreach team. We'll wonder about, should I share Jesus with this person? We'll wonder about, should I get involved? We will wonder about everything. And because of that indecisiveness, we lose blessings that God has prepared for us. There are things God has prepared for you that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered into the heart of man. Things that God has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You have a calling on your life. God has called you. God has chosen you. Before He formed you, He knew you. He predestined you. Before you were born, He already set out His purpose for your life. The fact that you exist is evidence that God has a plan. The fact that you are here is evidence, is proof that you're supposed to be here, predestined by the Almighty God for a purpose. Your life will count. Your days will count. You will not be forgotten, because in eternity there will be people that will say, thank you. Thank you for having the guts, having the boldness, having the faith to speak to me, to tell me, to forewarn me, to reach out to me when nobody else reached out to me. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and there are many that are not ready. We got to share the gospel. We got to proclaim Christ. We got to move from fear to boldness. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Would you raise your right hand with me and say it into the spirit? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One more time, everybody together. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's right. I think stand and give God a praise. That's the power of His word. Oh, won't you lift those hands? Come on, everybody in this room, lift those hands. Just worship Him for a moment. Just worship Him for a moment, because something is happening right now. The spirit of fear is going now. It's lifting now. It's broken now. And the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind is upon you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I break over your life. I break over your future. I break over your physical body, your mind, every form of fear, every form of oppression and distraction, it goes this night. Now, I break over you the fear of disappointment, the fear of failure, the fear of success, the fear that you've encountered in your life. Be broken now. Loose now. Fear that has come with you from your childhood. Fear that has come down from generations before you in your family. Let it be broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now. Be broken now. Shadabakuraba. Lift your hand and say it. Say in the name of Jesus. Say it in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, I address you. I'm speaking to you. I command you. Go from my life, from my mind. Out now. I cast you out. I resist you. Now, be broken in the name of Jesus. Every form of fear, now, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I am delivered. I am free from fear. I am full of faith. I am bold. I'm anointed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you can, lift those hands up high, lift those voices, and keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I renounce the spirit of fear now. Everybody in this room, I want you to say it out loud, publicly say, I renounce the spirit of fear now. Every form of fear, phobias, I renounce it. I do not have it. It's not mine. Jesus bore it on the cross. On the cross, he broke the curse of fear. Now, now, now. Shatabakuraba. Would you give God the highest praise? Spiritual warfare kind of praise. Spiritual warfare kind of praise. Woo! Shatabakuraba. Come out, come out, come out, come out, you spirit of fear, come out and go. I command you, loose every man, loose every woman, loose every child, loose our families, loose our children, loose our wives, loose our husbands, loose them now. Come out, go. I break you now. Go. I cast you out. Now go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those watching online, receive it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command the spirit of fear to loose you. To loose your life. Come out. And I release upon you now a baptism of faith, the spirit of faith, the spirit of love, the spirit of power, the spirit of a sound mind. Now, supernatural boldness. Now, in the name of Jesus. Now where you're standing, lift your hands to him and just let him wash you. Let him wash you. Let him come now and cleanse you with his love. Let that room in your heart be cleansed, be healed. For some of you, I see in the spirit from a very small child. You do not even remember what happened because you were too young. But there was a day and a moment where fear gripped you. But this day, God has healed you. He has washed you. He has cleansed you. He makes you whole now. I want to pray for people now that say, I feel and I sense that I know God's doing something in me. In fact, some of you already felt like something lifted. You felt like something like just, it lifted, it moved, it shifted. Or you feel the presence of God on you. You feel the presence of God washing over you. I want to pray for people now that are sensing something is happening in this area of fear that I've addressed. If that's you, come quickly to this altar now. If you feel that presence, if you feel that power of God, if you sense something has broken, something has shifted, something has lifted. And I want to say this to you, there's an impartation of boldness on you now. There's an impartation of supernatural boldness upon you now. And I want to say this to you, that the word of God declares in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. The righteous are bold as lions. And I want you to know, to be righteous does not mean to be perfect. To be righteous simply means to be right with God. To be right with God, to be in right standing with God. The righteous are not perfect people. The righteous are people who put their trust in God. Their faith is in God. Something is happening to you now in this whole church. Something is beautiful is happening. There's an impartation of supernatural boldness. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I activate in you now a mighty boldness. I activate in you now a supernatural boldness. The boldness as of a lion. A lion is not the biggest animal, but it has a boldness about it. It has an attitude about it. A lion is not big as an elephant, but it has a different attitude. A lion sees his prey as lunch. I'm here to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how big you are, how tall you are, how big your bank balance is. It doesn't matter how educated you are, educated or qualified. It's about who you are in your spirit. There's a boldness coming out of you. And whatever you've been afraid of, you're going to eat it for lunch. You're going to break it. You're going to run against it with force, with power, with authority, with anointing. The boldness of a lion is upon you now. Everybody in this room, even out in the congregation, lift those hands up high. Snatch that anointing. Grab a hold of that anointing. Take hold of that anointing. Boldness, boldness, boldness. The boldness of a lion. The boldness of a lion. The boldness of a lion. Shadababa Kodaba. The boldness of a lion shall be upon you. The boldness of God is upon you. The boldness of God wells up in you. The financial, the physical, the spiritual challenge you've had, you will not fear it from this moment. You will be bold. You'll be bold. You'll be fearless. The people who know their God will be bold and strong. They'll do great exploits. God's going to move on your behalf. He is moving now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to ask you guys to worship. Just praise or worship as the Lord leads you. And I'm going to come and just minister to you. And Pastor Alex, we're going to come and just minister to you. The boldness of God, we cast upon you. Pastor Alex, if you want to join me, man of God, up here. Tonight, we say that the boldness of a lion is upon each and every one of you. Right now, bold, 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 bold. We say, we release, we cast upon you now the spirit, the mantle of an evangelistic thrust for souls, for breakthrough, for reaching out, for breaking through barriers. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we release it now.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.